Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
They're up and down. They win the game, their playoff projection is 97%. They lose the next day, it's 79% or whatever. But we have a God who is with us 100% of the time. They're each and every day, each and every moment with us. So Heavenly Fathers, we close out this portion of the service, Lord, in the lifting of our hands, the lifting of our voices to you, in praise, just honoring you and just relishing in the fact that we know you're there with us each step of our lives, and we are just so blessed by that. And I pray, Lord, that there are those here today who maybe haven't experienced that through this time of worship, they see in the words that we've just sung that you are there with us, and that if they need to turn their life over to you, Lord, that they say that prayer today, that they're ready to let you walk with them side by side. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated for just a moment. Thank you, worship team, for really taking us into this great time of praising God. And as you can tell, Pastor Barry is not with us today. He's in Guatemala at a pastor's conference. So before we go any further, thank you guys. Before we go any further, I'd like for us to just lift up a quick word. We know he arrived safely yesterday. He's going to be there till Tuesday. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given Pastor Barry to speak into these pastors as they serve Guatemala. And the chance that he had because of the work that we have done there previously, the connections that he has made with these pastors, and that they invited him in to speak to them. We pray that you honor and bless the word that you give to him and open their hearts up and to receive that message, and that you just continue to bless the work that they're doing there. Bless his time there, and we also pray for a safe trip back on Tuesday, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What we just did is actually a good lead into the message today. So it is great when we do have that chance to be able to just talk to each other for just a moment and greet each other, have a big smile on our face, and welcome people and tell them how glad we are to see them. So for the month of September, our messages have kind of focused on relational aspects of our lives. And I can tell you that was not done intentionally. It's not like Pastor Barry and I sat down and kind of laid this out and this is the way it was going to go. But it was intentional because that's the purpose that God had. And that was the messages that he put on our hearts. So at the beginning of September, the first one was, Lord, why do I try to do life alone? And we talked about how people separate themselves from others, not only from others, but from God, and kind of think they know the best way to do things and try to go at it on their own as opposed to engaging others. And then we followed that up with, Lord, why do I say things that I regret? And the power of the spoken word, how we can tear down with others with that word, but also Pastor Barry went into how we can speak life into others with how we approach them, with how we speak to them. And then last week, kind of going on a little different path, we talked about, Lord, why am I nervous about finances? And we looked at why we are reluctant to trust in God with our finances, And also how he uses, he gifts us to be able to meet our needs and then asks for us to give a little something back to him. And that allows us to go out and do his work. And why are we not trusting him in that? So today we're going to talk about the message title. We're kind of spinning it a little bit off the speak life because we have power beyond our words to actually bring life into others with our actions. John 10:10 reminds us of this in that it says that the thief comes to kill and destroy, but Jesus comes to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. So that's, we didn't look at that. As I was sitting there going through this and preparing this, I said, I'm kind of breaking. I said, it's a good thing I'm not a preacher because I'm breaking preaching 101 by not having a focus, a focal scripture to work off of. So we're going to use that John 10:10, even though we didn't turn to it. Write it down, go home, read it. We're going to use that as the foundation for what we're talking about today. What are we bringing in our lives? Are we bringing that what the thief is as we interact with others each and every day where we're tearing them down, or are we bringing life to them? We're going to look at two quotes today from a man named Brennan Manning. And I'm going to put the first one up, and Travis, you bring it up and leave it up there for a moment. In every encounter, we either give life or we drain it. There is no neutral exchange. Even when you think that by just being indifferent about something that you're not impacting someone, you're impacting them by your indifference. The way we interact with the people we work with. When we go and get our coffee in the morning. When we go shopping and we check out or somebody's coming to help us. There's no neutral exchanges that take place there. We affect people and how we interact with them. And this is something, transparency, right, that I have to admit I've been really working hard on over the years because I sometimes was not always nice to maybe people who served me at a restaurant or whatever because I felt the service I was getting was not satisfactory and I was going to let them know about it. And I've learned there's a way to do that without tearing them down. And now what I strive to do is if I'm going and I meet someone, and especially if I'm at a store or something and they're not smiling, I'm going to work to get a smile out of them. Now, I'm not always successful. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we were at Six Flags, and the park was getting ready to close, and Eli and I went into a gift shop, and I got my first fidget spinner. Whew! Yes! I got a Bugs Bunny fidget spinner. And when I went to check out, the poor little girl, I'm sure she's just thinking, this day's about over, I want to get out of here. I have never seen, I think, a more expressionless face in my life. So I'm trying to, hey, how you doing? Yeah, this is great, and nothing, no change. Eli jumps in. He's very excited because he says, my papa, this is his first fidget spinner. Nothing. But that's okay because we were trying to, bring some life into her. And who knows how, maybe, they may have had an impact after she left or whatever. Because we don't know what people's situations are. But what we can do is see what we can do to make their life better. We're going to take a look at John chapter 8. And as you turn there, I want you to think about, do we give our best to those who mean the most to us or who can do the most for us? And act harshly or indifferent towards others. And we're going to look at a situation here where Jesus could have, he had different ways he could have went in this scenario. And we're going to see how he treated it in John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Now, I'm going to pause there for just a second. They're bringing this woman, you know, they are obviously trying to trap Jesus. And they're bringing this woman before him for him to pass a judgment on her because she broke the law. What I find interesting about this is the way that they did this, they broke the law because they're accusing her of adultery. So the man that she's been in an adulterous relationship with is supposed to be brought as well. But he's nowhere to be found. They're just bringing her to Jesus to see how he'll respond. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So as I said, there's really three ways Christ could have went here. Let's take that back. There's four ways he could have went because there's, I'm going to also include the way he did go. The first way was, as I said, he could have just distracted himself from the situation completely. But he didn't do that. He stayed within the moment, stayed within the situation that was presented to him. The next one is he could have just addressed the accusers and spoken against them or spoken to them and neglected the woman that was brought before him. But he didn't do that. He could have just spoken to the woman and neglected the accusers. But he didn't do that. He had something for everybody that was part of that situation. For the accusers, he did speak to them. He spoke to them by giving them teaching against judgment. When he said, let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone, what was their reaction? You didn't see someone, oh, I got this, and grab a stone and start throwing. They thought about it and realized they could not honestly say neither one, none of them had ever sinned. And they slowly just walked away, teaching about judgment to them. For the woman, it says he didn't condemn her. He didn't condone her actions either. What he did was he gave her a challenge to walk away from her life of sin. He stayed in the moment. He spoke to each person that was involved there. We are not called to pick and choose who we want to bring life to. We are commissioned in Matthew 28:19-20, not to take the word of Christ to Weldon Spring, Cottleville, maybe a little bit of St. Peter's here. We're commissioned to take that word to all. Take it to everybody. So how do we do that? How do we get to a position where we can go to all? Let's jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, no one foundational verse, but a lot of verses to look at. And what I love about this is, in my Bible, you know how they'll have a breakdown, a section breakout of what the particular piece of scripture you're getting ready to read, what it pertains to. And this one is instructions for the church. And what really stood out to me was below that, a little subheading, instructions about worship. And we just talked about worship a moment ago to the worship team. What an awesome job they did of, as I said, taking us into this time of celebrating, of singing to God and raising our hands to Him. But too many times we think that's where worship stops. And what I love about this is the first part of worship is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1, chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. The first part of worship is praying for others. When we come into this auditorium on Sunday mornings, my hope and challenge to you going forward, and keep in mind, anytime I give you a challenge, I'm giving myself that same challenge, okay? So, is to have that time of prayer. Come in and pray for what we're about to experience here. It says to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. The first part of reaching others is to pray for them. I was thinking about, I don't know if any of you, how many of you have ever read any books by Frank Peretti? Got a few in here. For those of you who don't know, he's a Christian fiction author. But the stories he writes are incredible, as they really paint in a really vivid picture of the spiritual warfare that takes place. And one of the things I love about his books is he has characters, he's developing the characters, and they're getting ready to go into a moment where they're going to serve God and they're going to take on the enemy. One of the things they talk about is the need to have prayer cover before you do that. Have that prayer cover. Talk to God about what you're going into and allow him to cover you in that. So we have a calling. And we know the first thing we need to do is pray for others. So now it's time to take some action. Let's jump over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Pastor Barry mentioned this last week. We did not read it. We're going to read it today. And I know we've read it in here many times before, because this piece of scripture is the foundation for the five purposes of St. Charles River Church and for those banners that we have hanging over here. Starting in verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. There's that prayer again. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And when I, again, look for those words, all. We have God and we have all. It's for all. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worship together at the temple each day. This is not, let's go to church on Sunday, spend our hour there, and then we're done. Each day they went into the temple. Oh, they did more than that. They met in homes. Pastor Carl, they met in homes. Wow. What a great idea, huh? They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. And that last part is very important, because it would be easy to think about, okay, great, they took care of their own people. They sold everything, they met needs, but it was all for the people that were there. But no, God was adding to that group, adding to their number, which meant they were reaching out beyond that and serving the needs of others and then bringing them in. So there's one ingredient that's going to pull all this together. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. Last scripture, so. What pulls it all together? Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And when we look at that word love, it's not a verbal, hey, I love you. It's an action being taken. Too often we just get caught up in the word, think, hey, I love you, and think that's enough. And unfortunately, oftentimes, and not that we ever want to discourage spouses from continuing to tell their mates that they love each other, but sometimes it almost becomes kind of routine, doesn't it? You're on the phone. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, great. Da-da-da. Love you. Bye. How many of you saw the movie Courageous? I know we've showed it in here before, and we actually did a study on it. Remember the part where one of the main characters, Adam, is juggling a phone call between his wife and his sergeant? How you doing? Oh, yeah, hold on. Sarge calling. Yeah, how you doing? Da-da-da-da-da. He's going back and forth. All right, love you. Thinks he's telling his wife, yeah, I love you, bye. No, it's Sarge. And his sister was like, what? And that happened more than once. To the point where they decide to have a little fun with him and say, during roll call one day, to say, all right, if you have strong feelings for one another, you need to keep those to yourself. And they knew where they were going with it. Sometimes we just get so caught up in the words, it's just easy to say, I love you, and not really think about what we're saying. But what are we doing to show people that? Going back to verse 7, anyone who loves is a child of God. And right there, that usage of the word love is an action, and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And how do we know God is love? God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. He took an action. He sent Jesus to the earth to take on our sins. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So what do we do with that action? Verse 11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Take it to each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives us in us. Showing that love towards each other, God is working in us, and then people can see God in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. That's what brings it all together, is love. I'm going to show you a video clip here in a minute. Kind of want to give you some intro into it. As I've shared before, one of the TV shows I just really love was a TV show called Friday Night Lights. And the main character in that show is Coach Eric Taylor. Successful high school football coach, leading young men. And one of the players in the first couple seasons, one of the star players, is Brian Smash Williams, star running back. One of the best running backs in the state of Texas. Smash comes from a home with a single mom who works her tail off to provide for her children. And his dream is to go to college, play college football, and then go to the NFL so that he can, not only for the stardom that it brings him, so that he can support his family and take care of his mom who is taking care of him. So Smash has a college scholarship. It looks like he's ready to go, and then he suffers a significant knee injury. And that scholarship is taken away from him. And he doesn't know what to do. So he goes back to the little town. He works in a local hamburger ice cream place. He's doing well there. They're looking at him, maybe as management, but that's not what his dream was. And Coach Taylor knew that wasn't what his dream was. Now, Coach, you know, as I said, he was a successful young high school football coach. So a successful young high school football coach would like to become a successful young college coach. So all he could be thinking about is the players he's got now. What do I need to do to win games so that I can move to that next level? So even though Smash is no longer part of his program, it doesn't mean he's not a part of Coach Taylor's life. So Coach Taylor starts working with him, getting him back in shape, driving him. He said, we're going to get you into college. And there are times Smash wants to quit, and he will not let him quit. And then finally, he organizes a tryout for Smash at a major university. And even that comes with some problems. Because when they arrive on campus for the tryout, the team decides, well, we're not going to let it happen today. But that wasn't good enough for Coach Taylor. He walks on the field, he confronts the coach, and he gets the tryout to take place. So what we're going to see is the results of that, what happened with Smash and what his reaction was from that. Travis, you go ahead and roll that.
Yes, sir, this is Brian. Yes, sir. Tomorrow morning, yeah, I'll be there. My new shoulder pad's gonna be ready in the morning.
Lord, you know what I thought that was. I've been holding my breath.
No, I'm just playing. I got in.
What did you just say, Brian?
I'm going to college with you.
Brian? Oh, baby?
Wants me to practice in the morning. I'm leaving tonight. The guys are driving me. I just figured I'd stop by before I left.
Could you play ball?
It's in the car.
Remember what I told you about those dorm rooms down there, right? It's like dorm rooms, nothing but trouble.
Yes, sir.
You better not be skipping any classes.
Yes, sir.
Keep your grades up. I'm going to keep time.
Coach, just hold on. I wanted to stop by and say thank you. You know, for everything. I couldn't have done any of this without you. And that's for real.
OU tickets, 50-yard line, some parking passes.
Got to get a little something for all that work, right? That's the impact we can have on others. Just pouring into them. And I just love that Smash went had to tell him, I could not have done this without you. You made this happen. So said he could have just forgot about him, but he didn't do that. He wanted to help him realize his dream. You know, and it's easy to say, okay, well, that's a TV show. Writers, good writers, right? They can make anything look good. But think about how many times maybe you've seen that in your own life. You know, a little over 7 years ago, my mom passed away. She would have had her 82nd birthday this past Wednesday. She spent the last 17 years of her life in Maryville, Tennessee, down in one of my favorite parts of the area, right near the Smoky Mountains. And when we went down there, it was just amazing, the people that came up to say how much my mom meant to them. In those 17 years that she was there, the lives that she impacted. But then it went beyond that. I started hearing from people from the church that she went to before she moved away. She taught second grade Sunday school. And people thinking back 20 years or so at the impact that she had on them when she was their Sunday school teacher. And then it went beyond that. People around my age, going back maybe 35 years, to when she worked with teenage girls and act teens. Now, that's a Southern Baptist thing, so. But, you know, working with those girls, and even then, you know, women who are now in their 50s were saying how much my mom impacted their lives because of the teaching that she gave them and the example that she showed. Unfortunately, that is not, too often that is not what we are seeing today. We are not seeing love as the action that should be shown. If someone doesn't fall in line with our beliefs, with what we think, with what we want, we go into attack mode. You know, Pastor Mike shared right at the beginning about all the beautiful, cute little things we see on Facebook. You know, people, they're traveling with their families and that. And what it is, it's amazing to see that kind of stuff. We also see a lot of bitterness hit that as well. And I'm going to be very blunt with you. It's not just non-believers that we see that from. Trey Wingo. How many of you remember Trey Wingo? He used to be on Channel 5 here. And 20 years ago, he went to ESPN. Trey Wingo said something a few weeks ago. He said, "We have lost the ability to disagree. We no longer know how to disagree with one another without bitterness and fighting and attacking." And that's not to say that we should all believe the same in that, because that's not true at all. That's not how God made us. God, in this body right here, God brought people in with different backgrounds, with different gifts and skills and talents to work as one for His kingdom. I had mentioned back several months ago, we had went to the Toby Mac concert, and one thing he said that I jotted down because it meant so much to me was, he said, we should be leading this thing called togetherness. We should be at the forefront of pulling people together. Instead, we are out there, unfortunately, driving a wedge just as much as the next guy is. It's going to take us to my second Brennan Manning quote here. And if we have any DC Talk fans here, before Toby Mac was Toby Mac, he was part of DC Talk. And on the Jesus Freak project that they did, one of the songs was called "What If I Stumble?" And on the recording, they had this phrase from Brennan Manning before they went into the song. It said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny Him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." I had someone very close to me, and our relationship became strained. And we do have some very different beliefs about things, and our relationship became very strained, and it concerned me. So we finally met one night at Buffalo Wild Wings. Spent 5 hours at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I just kind of let him go. I let him just hit me. And I think I actually made him mad because I didn't fight back. But I wanted him to get all that out of his system. And one of the things that really spoke volumes to me was, as we talked about people who have needs in our society today, people who need assistance with food, with shelter, and how in his perception of this is Christians just ignore that because we maybe fight against a government system that provides welfare. I said, "Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you." I said, "I know you don't like the Bible." He goes, "Okay, that's your thing. Go ahead." But I said, you know, I went back and I remember when the first deacons were called, Stephen and the other deacons were called. What was their purpose? was because the other apostles could not, they were busy teaching and had problems meeting the needs of those in need into church. So they put the deacons in place to meet those needs. And I said, quite honestly, I said, the church should be helping meet those needs, and we do not do a very good job of it. And so now the government is involved. And he was like, wow, you really believe that? I said, yeah, I do. We are supposed to help meet the needs of those who cannot meet their needs. But see, that's the perception that we put out there, is that we don't care about others. So I want to go back to the beginning, when we talked about John 10:10. How the thief comes to destroy, kill and destroy. Christ comes to bring life and to bring it abundantly. What are we doing when we walk out these doors today? What is it that we are showing others? And what is it that we are taking to others? Are we bringing life to them? Let's go ahead and bow our heads for just a moment. Just kind of let that simmer for just a second. When I walk out the door today, what am I going to do for somebody else? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've showed us here. The calling that you gave us to take your message to others. And that we are to pray for each and every person that we are come in contact with. Not just those that maybe mean the most to us. We are to pray for everybody, Lord. And when we interact with people in our everyday lives, are we bringing life? Are we showing love? Are we reflecting you in us, Father? And when understanding that even by not taking any action, we are taking an action because we're rejecting them. So, Father, I pray that the word that you've given us today will sink into each and every one of us here. And as I said before, this message is as much for me as it is for anybody else, Lord. Is I have to take examine my life and what am I doing to bring life to others, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.